The shir is dedicated to Yilui Nishmoser of Chaim Yisocho ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov, Reb Chaim Feigenbaum of Blessed Memory, Shem Melitz Yosher Lakol HaMishpocha. The topic we will be discussing today is a general one, not a specific sugya, but a more general one. On one hand, regarding Geulas Mitzrayim, Chazal teach us, as very well known, בזכוס שלושה דבורים נגאלו אבוסינו ממצרים, שלא שינו את לשונם, את לבושם, ואת שמותיהם. That is a very well-known medrash. I don't know exactly where it appears, but there is a similar mamar in Medrash Rabba, Parsha Lamed Beis, in Chumash Vayikra. And this reflects a very basic yesod in proper hanhoga and hashkofa and halacha. We are to keep away from Gentile society and cherish our Torah values. And many tikkunos were put into place by Chazal to ensure that we will not mingle more than necessary with the peoples that surround us, that amongst them we live. Stam yeinom asru mishum benoiseihem. That is a very powerful statement. Mishum benoiseihem. Bishulei nochrim, according to most Rishonim, Rashi and Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei, Tosfos Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches, the Rambam and many others, the Isur of Bishul Nochrim is to make it difficult for Jewish people to mingle with Gentiles. If we can't eat their food and we can't drink their wine, obviously we won't spend much prime time together. So Chazal, on one hand, were very makbid that we keep with our bunch and do not mingle with the Gentiles. On the other hand, we find various sugyas in Shas, two different definitions, Mishum Darkei Sholoim and Mishum Eivo, that Chazal were lenient in enabling us to have a proper, healthy, respectable relationship with non-Jews that we know, Mishum Eivo and Mishum Darkei Sholoim. So obviously we need the profound wisdom of Chazal to know the limits and limitations, when yes and when no, and the proper balance between the Cheshash of Benoiseyem on one hand and Eivo and Darkei Sholoim on the other hand. But the topic we will be focusing on tonight is precisely, what does Darkei Sholoim mean? What does Eivo mean? Are both the same concept, just different Lashonis, Mashmuas Darshani Kebeinayu, or are we dealing with two different concepts? And what is the limit of Eivo? Could we be lenient with Isurim, Mishum Cheshash of Eivo, or not? So by basic definition, or rather translation, Eivo is translated as hatred. And in order not to provoke the hatred, the resentment of non-Jews, Chazal were lenient in various aspects, Darkei Sholoim is ways of peace, to have a harmonious and peaceful relationship with non-Jews, with neighbors and the society amongst which we live. Chazal, once again, were lenient in various aspects. So let's first of all examine some of the halachas. Most of the dinim of Darkei Sholoim are penek hanezok on a mesechet gittin. One Mishnah, daf nun tes. The Mishnah, daf nun tes, says, Ein mamchem biyad ani oiv dekechov meleket shikcha vepeya mishum Darkei Sholoim. If non-Jews want to collect leket shikcha and pay, even though those are defined as matnois aniyim, and they are designated for our poor, for our desperate, but we do not prevent non-Jews from collecting the produce of the field, leket shikcha and peya. Daf Samach Aleph, the Mishnah says, Shoyalin Bishloma Mishum Darkei Sholoim. We should pay interest and ask non-Jews how they fare, how they do, and give them the blessing of peace. Even though Sholoim is the name of the Almighty, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are permitted to give them the blessing of shalom, the blessing of peace, even to non-Jews. The Gemara also says that when we distribute tzedakah, we also include non-Jewish recipients. And koivrim meiseyem em meisi Yisrael, mevakrim choleihem em cholei Yisrael. In our social activities, caring for the ill, the desperate, the demised, we give the same yachas to non-Jews as to Jews, and all these halachas are based on the concept of darkei shalom. And then there are different halachas based on eva. Avodah Zarah d'avava midbeis. The Gemara says, "B'yamei Adayin, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgivings or another day, we are to stay away from non-Jews. We cannot give them gifts or receive gifts from them." And that is the first mission of Masechet Avodah Zarah. However, the Gemara says, if on their Yemei Chaga, if a non-Jew gave us a gift, and if we reject that gift, we might offend him, and he might be offended and embarrassed. In that case, the Gemara says, we are entitled to receive the gift with certain limitations. Certain limitations defined in the Gemara and in the Rambam. The Rambam has a slightly different Hagdora. What are we supposed to do with the gift that we received from an non-Jew, B'yayim Edom? However, that is a heter that Chazal based on Eva. Tav Chof Vovim, Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that we are not to heal the Ovdei Avodas Kechovim's ills, or to give birth to help their wives give birth. But in a case of Eva, we are to do so. So these halachas in Masechet Avodah Zarah primarily are based on the concept of Eva. Bovemetziyat aflamet beis umet beis. Mitaplim bebehemes oivet kechovim kebehemes Yisrael mishum Eva. And that is in the context of the halachas of Prika and Te'ina. So there are various halachas based on Darkei Shalom, different halachas based on Eva. What is the difference between the two? So the first question I would like to deal with is, when we say Darkei Shalom, what does that mean? Is it similar to Eva? We are just interested in safeguarding our brethren, Jewish people, and not to arouse the wrath of the non-Jews, lest they may harm, damage, kill, or injure our people. Or maybe Darkei Shalom is a more profound concept and a more positive one, not only a concept with a negative connotation. Maybe Darkei Shalom means Drocheyu Darchei Noyim V'Chonisi V'Seyu Shalom. Our Torah is humane, compassionate, and therefore we have to care for every human being, and that includes non-Jews. That seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis of Hilchas Malacha. Was when the Rambam brings the halacha of Darkei Shalom, referring to Gemilas Chasodim, Mevakrim Cholehem, Kovrim Meitehem, Mishum Darkei Shalom, the Rambam brings Tov Hashem Lekoil, V'rachmov Al Kol Ma'asov, V'nemar, Drocheyu Darkei Noyim V'Chonasiv V'Seyu Shalom. So obviously the Rambam indicates that the concept of Darkei Shalom is not only a b'diyeved one, but rather a lechatchila. And it reflects Torah values. It reflects our obligation to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum afato chanun, mahu gomel dalim afata gmol dalim, etc. And that would be a very basic difference between Eva and Darkei Shalom. However, as appealing this approach might be to us in our modern day and age, I don't think it is the correct interpretation of the Rambam's Shita. Because the dinim of Darkei Sholem are dispersed in many chalokim of the Rambam. Some of them in Hilchas Matnus Aniyim. Others in Hilchas Tfilo. Many, many different places. Some of them in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Perek Yud of Hilchas Malachim, it's totally derech agav. None of the halachas of Darkei Sholem actually belongs in Perek Yud of Hilchas Malachim. Actually, the Rambam deals with how do we relate to a court case in which one party is Jewish and the other is not Jewish, whether it's the defendant or the plaintiff. And b'derech agav, the Rambam brings that we have to have mercy and compassion towards every person, even a non-Jew. And Chazal were metakin tekonis, even mishum darkei sholem. And then the Rambam adds on that the pasuk says, "Tov v'shem l'kol v'rachma v'kol ma'asav drochei darkei noyim v'chonasi v'zeir sholem." But if we closely examine the formulation of the Rambam, he doesn't go as far as to say that is the concept of darkei sholem. The Rambam means to say, besides the various tekonos of Chazal, which are based on Darkei Sholem, we also have basic values of love and compassion and caring for every human being. But that is not the definition of Darkei Sholem. If it would be the definition of Darkei Sholem, the Rambam would write that line where he actually deals with the sugi of Darkei Sholem, and not when it comes in totally out of context, totally kivederech agav. And therefore, I think Darkei Sholem is similar in a way to Eva. It's a tekona based on a situation which is a bedieved situation. This argument becomes far more potent when we check the other halachas of Darkei Sholem in those same Mishnayos, in Gittin Daf Nun Tes to Daf Samech Aleph. Because the concept of Darkei Sholem is not only Ben Yisrael Lo Amim, it is Beineinu Lebein Atzmeinu. Koyin Ule Rishon Levi Sheini Yisrael Shlishi is also Mishum Darkei Sholem. Oni Amenakav Beroish Azayis Yesh Bo Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholem. Chereshoite Vekotin Shematzu Mitziot Yesh Bem Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholem. And all these various halachas are Deloleisi La'insuye Limnoa Ktata Veriv Umachloket. They are not because of Druchei Darkei Noyim V'chonasi V'seir Sholem. There are various halachas in Dinei Geneva and Gezeila and Kriya Satoira and different halachas. Eruv, if the Eruv was placed several times in one home, we don't reject that person and put the Eruv in another home because he might be offended. So all these halachas are Beneinu Lebein Atzmeinu and they are Misud HaSeder HaTziburi. Various halachas in the way we deal with our affairs, tekonos, and the rationale of all these tekonos is lemnoa ktata, menias hamachlokes. So that definitely would be the basis of the various halachas, Darkei Sholem, Ben Yisrael, or Amim, just as that is the basic understanding and rationale of the various tekonos, Ben Odom Lechaveiroi. So what would be the difference between Darkei Sholem and Eva? Maybe they are similar, but not the same. And my basic feeling is I want to make two points. One is Eva seems to be something more extreme than Darkei Sholem. Eva means hatred. And we are to avoid and prevent situations of hatred and wrath, Ben Yisrael, Amin. Because when our neighbors, especially throughout the Golas, when they were angry, it always brought bad consequences. Sometimes the total destruction, sometimes Tsar and Yesurim. That is the situation of Eva. The situation of Darkei Sholem is in a more mild surrounding or milder situations, circumstances. I just want to bring a dogma, an example. Simen Shin Chofei in Hilchos Shabbos. This entire simen deals with the Eina Yehudi Shasam al Chuban Yisrael. So Sif Aleph says, if a non-Jew brought something, a gift, or he gave a Jew something, in Shabbos we cannot accept it. We must reject it. However, Sif Bey says, Heched de'ikadar kei sholoim, oh, be'eina Yehudi alim, mutar latet lo, o l'shloach lo, al yedei eina Yehudi. So Sif Aleph says, we cannot receive matonis from a goy on Shabbos, and we should not give matonis to a goy on Shabbos. And that is a precaution, a harchoka of the Isser of Eitzor Meshus L'shus. In such two situations, Siv Baiz says it would be permitted to give a gift to an non-Jew. Heched de'ike mishum darke sholom, o be'en Yehudi alem, a violent person. So I think a violent person would be an evo situation. He's angry, he's violent, he's dangerous. He just might take out a gun and who knows what he'll do. Darkei Sholem is similar, the rationale, the basic rationale is similar, but it's a different situation, and therefore the Mechaber deals with two different cases. Heched de'ike mishum darkei sholem, o be'eini Yehudi alim, mutar lo'asos lo, o l'shloach lo, al yedei goy. So this just comes to emphasize the point, I think. It is with the reason that Eva is a negative concept and darkei sholem a positive one, because even though both are based on the extremes to which Chachameinu go to prevent situations of riv and ktota and machloikes and harm, but there are two similar but different situations, and Eva is in more drastic situations than Darkei Sholem. I also think that there is a different idea or an additional differentiation between the two concepts, Darkei Sholem and Eva. All the takonos of Darkei Sholem are takonot kvuot, misud, haseder, hakihilati, vahatziburi. Kriyas HaTorah, who's first, who's second, who's third? How does the system work? Chereshoy Tevekotin, to whom, to their metzias, belong. When we disperse funds, how do we do that? Who is entitled to receive? When we put up a social body dealing with social needs of the community. Once upon a time, in every kehila there was a vad, bikur cholim, chevre kedisha. How do they deal with the populace? Are non-Jews included or are they excluded? So Darkei Sholem is takanot. Eile devorim shetiknu chachome mishum Darkei Sholem. That's the Mishnah Gittin Daf Nun Tes. Eva is not general takanas, but rather a heter. Situations of Eva are sporadic. They are personal and coincidental. So, Eva is not a takona klalit. Eva is rather a heter. Af al pi she'asul enhog bederech misuyemet, aval kishiyesh chashash Eva, hetiru chachomim. And that is the example of Avodah Zarah Vav. Generally, it is prohibited to receive gifts from a goy on his festive days. But in a situation of Eva, it is permissible. Generally, a doctor should focus on patients of our brethren. But when there is a chashash of Eva, it is permitted. There is an issur of lois sechonim, dealing with the sugyim bov metzia lamed beis. When there is a chashash of Eva, Chazal look away, and they are matter, this issur. So Eva is a heter. Darkei Sholem is a takona. And I think that is the most precise definition in understanding that we are dealing with different concepts. The same, but different. Similar, but not the same. And this last point I try to explain, I think that is the most basic and the most central in understanding the basic concepts of Darkei Sholem and of Eiva. What is very interesting is the Machlokes HaRishonim, whether Eiva is a basis of Kula. Could we be Matar in Isser Meshum Eiva? Well, generally, definitely not in Issa D'Oraisa. The only thing that could override in Issa D'Oraisa is Pikuach Nefesh, Sakona. When Chazal speak about Eiva, they aren't dealing with Pikuach Nefesh situations, but rather with relationships. If there is any chashash of Pikuach Nefesh, even a Sufik Sakona, Doruch Hashem Shabbos of Kol HaTorah Kulo, and therefore, there's a very well-known tshuva in Chasam Sofer, in which Chasam Sofer deals with a Jewish doctor that was called and he asked to care for a non-Jewish patient if there is any chashash of sakana, even a malacha d'oraisa. And that is the basis of the ruling of all the gedolim of our time, our generation, even previous generations, that a Jewish doctor has to give non-Jews the same care, exactly the same care, even when regarding Malachas D'Oraisa, as dealing with Jewish patients. Some time ago, I was extremely troubled when a certain halachic publication wanted to come out with a broad discussion of many rabbonim. Is it Elechatchila to care for non-Jewish patients or a bediyeved? And I said, Chachomim hizaharu bidivreichem. Anachnu tzichim lehavin shekol mila ktuva yagia lakol makom. That is the Murphy law. V'tzerich leot ma'od zihirim b'halachot ke'ele. Aval kvar kosava divrei chayim, tshuvas divrei chayim, Devar Chaim says that he heard it was a takona vad arba rotzois, that cholim lo yehudiim yekablu b'diyuk oto tipul kamo cholim yehudiim afilu b'malachos d'orais. And that is based on the very firm conviction that if we don't do so, somewhere in the world, mishu yishalem al kach b'chayav yehudi. But we're dealing with Eiva. So Eiva is a concept in the eyes of Chazal, has nothing to do with Pikuach Nefesh, but rather preventing hatred and potential harm and disharmony between Jews and their surroundings. So the question is whether Eiva is a basis to be lenient by Nisid Rabbonim. So on that same Sugin of the Zohar Daf Chovah of Tosis writes, even in Shabbos, one could assist a non-Jewish woman in having a baby, but Tosis writes only if there's no malacha d'oraisa involved, only a shvus. So Tosis seems to make it clear that a shvus, one could be matir mishum eiva. And that is specifically stated in Tosis Rabbeinu Al-Chanan, on the spot. However, the Ritva twice, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Dav Vav Amud Beis, and once again Dav Chov Vav says, even an issur d'rabbanan cannot be transgressed because of eiva. The Kula of Eiva is only in those situations that we find in the Gemara, because in those halachas, the basic argument is that Chazal Chatchila didn't put the prohibition into place if there is an Eiva situation. And therefore, it is not that we override an Issa D'Rabbanan Mishum Eiva, but rather, there is no Issa D'Rabbanan, because in an Eiva situation, Chazal didn't institute this decree in the first place. That is the opinion of the Ritva twice in Masechet Avodah Zarah. And according to the Ritva, it is no basis of Kula, even by an Issur D'Rabbanan. Precaution, being careful. But Mishum Eiva, we don't have the power to be Mekel. V'day lo b'Issur D'Oraisa, not even by an Issur D'Rabbanan. One of the interesting sources regarding Eiva is in Halachas Mezuzah, Yoredei Semen Reish Tzadik Aleph Siv Beis. The Ramo brings Maharil that one cannot give a mezuzah to a non-Jew. And in the Maharil we have the story of one of the important ministers in a non-Jewish circle asked one of the Gedolim, he would like to get a mezuzah. And he gave him the mezuzah. And then other Gedolim said that it was an Aveda and he shouldn't have given that mezuzah. And this Maharil is brought by the Ramo. But the Ramo says, however, b'mokom eivo, one could be lenient and one could give a mezuzah to a non-Jew. That is, the Ramo, Simen Reish Tzadik Aleph, in the Arka Moshe and in the Ramo. And I was always surprised how the Maharil and the Ramo, both of them, seem to be unaware of a story told in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Dav Dalad Amad Aleph, Chazal tell the story of Rebbe and Artavon. We very well know that Rabbeinu HaKodesh had a very close relationship with Antoninus, but in Yerushalmi Pei Dav Dalad Amad Aleph, we find that he had a very interesting relationship with Artavon, who was obviously one of the Chashuvim of Romy in that time, in that day and age. So Artavon sent Rebbe a gift, a diamond or a precious stone. Rebbe sent back a gift, he sent him a mezuzah. And Artavon was surprised and he said, I sent you something which is extremely precious, a diamond or another precious stone. And you sent me a piece of parchment. Didn't seem to be worth much in his eyes. And then Rebbe sends to Artavon, and he says, well, you sent me something that I have to make a great effort to guard and to take care of. I sent you something that'll take care of you. You won't have to take care of the mezuzah. The mezuzah will safeguard you. So Artavon didn't ask for the mezuzah. So there definitely was no problem of Eivo. Rebbe, out of his own initiative, decided to send the mezuzah as a gift to Artavon, which seems to indicate very clearly that we don't even need a heter of Eivo. There is no issur at all in giving a mezuzah as a gift to a non-Jew. So what is the issur b'chlal? Why do we need the heter of Eivo? What seems to be clear from this Yerushalmi is that the only basis of an issur giving a mezuzah to a non-Jew would probably be the chashash that the mezuzah would and the non-Jew wouldn't really keep the mezuzah b'derech kovot. It might be destroyed or kept not in a mechubedik way. And obviously, Rebbe, knowing his friend Artavon, was totally confident that he will, after Rebbe explains to him what this piece of parchment is, how precious it is, and what is written on this piece of parchment, Rebbe was confident that Artavon will take care of it in an appropriate fashion, and therefore that was the basis of the heter. So in accordance, we must conclude that the issue of giving a mezuzah to a non-Jew is totally based on the chashash of Bizoyan. Bizoyan Kizvei Kodesh, regarding which Chazal were very machmir. Some time ago, I had an interesting shaila. A person had a ksav yad of the gun, of the gro. It was extremely precious to him. He got it as a yiddish from his father. However, he had children to marry off, and he didn't have the means. So instead of trying to schnorr and put together money, he wanted to sell that ksav yad for a very hefty price and marry off his children from the money. He had two options. He could sell it to a Jewish collector or through one of the auction houses, and he would get a much better price. But the auction house cannot promise that they'll sell it to a Jew. They will sell it to the highest bidder. They said it probably would be a museum or a library or some kind of a cultural institution. And the question was, is he entitled to sell it to a non-Jew, to a museum, or must he sell it to a firm Jew, a Jew, to be sure that the ksav yad of one of the greatest Torah giants in all generations of the Goan will stay within the fold, within, you know, in Jewish possession. I actually had an opportunity discussing this question with Rabbeinu Harav Eliashiv, but it was mamish a few days before he fell ill and went into the hospital for a lengthy period of time until he passed away. And his opinion was that he must sell it to a Jewish owner, but due to his medical state, I couldn't really discuss why. My opinion was, if a person is entitled to give a mezuzah to a non-Jew, and there's a tshuva of the chido, and it's also in Birki Yosef, that even a Sefer Torah, if we are confident that it will be kept b'derech kovet, you could give a Sefer Torah to a non-Jew, and the ksav yad of the goyim, in all due respect, doesn't have more kedusha than a mezuzah or a Sefer Torah. And it is clear in the poskim that the only problem giving a mezuzah or a sefer Torah to a non-Jew is only if it'll be kept b'derech b'zayin. So any institution, whether it's a museum or a library, that'll buy a ktav yad, either it'll be on display in a glass box or somewhere in the archives of that institution, but it definitely would be kept b'derech kavod. Wouldn't be Magia Lede Bizoyan, and therefore my opinion was that he is entitled to sell it to the highest bidder through an auction house and try to get as much money as he can, especially that money was needed for a Dvar Mitzvah, for Achnosis Kala. So today we discussed the concept of Darkei Sholem and Eiva and the difference between them and various halachas regarding these basic concepts, defining the relationship between Jews and non-Jews. And these halachas are especially relevant in our times in the modern world. And throughout the Shulchan Aruch, we find more kulis regarding Eva and additional halachas beyond those that we already find in the Gemara and the Rishonim. And some of those halachas were mentioned and clarified in today's Shia. In the beginning of this week's parsha, when we go deeper in to the sugya of Geulas Mitzrayim, in the beginning of the parsha we find Dalad Lashoyne Shel Geula. V'hoitzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'goalti, v'lokachti eschem lila'am, v'hoisi lochem l'yelokim. And then there is the fifth lashon of Geula, Veheveisi eschem el haoretz, asher nasasi yodei lo sesoiso. I promise your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give the land, the promised land, to their children, to Klal Yisrael. Keneged dalet lashon shel Geula, we drink dalet koisus, the fifth kois is defined as Kos Shel Eliyahu. So, one interpretation of the concept Kos Shel Eliyahu is Eliyahu HaNovi will decide whether we drink four koises or five koises, and therefore it's called Kos Shel Eliyahu. But another understanding and interpretation is this kais will be thoroughly fulfilled only b'bi'as ha'goyim. Because the fifth lashon of Geula ve'heveisi eschem, it is a dream that will be totally fulfilled only with b'bi'as Moshiach Tzidkenu. Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to come back to the land of our forefathers. Eretz ha'gdoisho, Eretz ha'shareinei Hashem elokecho bom ereish shono adach l'shono. Our beloved land. And Gedoyla ha'chachamim, when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, they knelt and kissed the dust of the land. They loved Eretz Yisrael. Not some abstract Eretz Yisrael in the sky, in the Gemoras, but they actually loved the land. There is no more powerful expression of loving the land than kissing the earth, the stones, the rocks that are full of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But this is a dream that will be fully fulfilled, manifested, only b'bi'as ha'goyim. Because the Ramban explains in the beginning of our Chumash, the Sefer Shemois is called Sefer HaGolos V'HaGeulo. Only four parashiyos actually deal directly with Golos and Geula. Shemois V'eru Boi B'Shalach. In B'Shalach we already say, sing the song of Shir HaSayam. Yisroi Mishpotim no longer deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather with Kabbalah Satoira. So why is the entire Sefer defined as Sefer HaGolos V'HaGeulo? The Ramban explains that the concept of Geula is not only a function of personal freedom, national sovereignty, geography. No. Ad asher al malat avotam yashuvun. It is only when we achieve the heights of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it is only then that we could be defined as a redeemed people, as a redeemed nation, as Geulim. And therefore the entire Sefer, which includes Kabbalah Satoira, HaKomes HaMishkan, it is only when the Shekhinah was shown to be Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash, that was the Shleimus, that was the Hashlama of the Geula. So the Geula Shleimah will only be fulfilled B'Bias Moshiach Tzidkenu, B'Binyan HaBayis HaShlishi, when the Shekhinah will once again dwell B'Yisroel, B'Idgalia, V'lo B'Idkasya, V'lo B'Hester Panim. And that is why the fifth kais is filled, but we do not drink it. We cannot drink the fifth kais. And that is the kais shel Eliyahu HaNovi. It is only when we will be zoche, and he sholech lachem es Eliyahu HaNovi lefnei bo yoyim Hashem HaGodol V'HaNoiro, V'yishev leivo v'selbonim v'leivbonim malavoysim, it is only then that we could partake of the fifth kais, the kais of V'Heveisi. The fourth kais is V'lokachti eschem lilam V'yisi lochem le'elokim. And I said many times, maybe it's a slight milsa de bedichus, maybe it's a vertel and not really pshat, and I'm fully aware of that, but nevertheless, I think it's an important observation. Some of us in our modern day and age would be content, be happy with three cases, because the first three Leshonis of Geula have more appeal to them. Votzeti, Vitzalti, Vegalti. Kas number four. Loshon number four. Velakachti etchem li le'am vehuiti lochem le'elukim. Doesn't have that much appeal to them. But obviously the first three are only a prelude to number four. Because between kas number one and number two to number three, we could eat, we could drink, we could make any type of hefsek. But between three and four, we cannot drink, we cannot eat. So maybe this indicates kas number four is the most important one. And all the previous three, v'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, are only meant to lead to the ultimate kas, which is v'lakachti otchem li le'am v'hoisi lochem le'elokim. You shall be my chosen people, and I shall be your God. That is the most important and most central of the Arba Lishoines Shel Geula. Yehi Ratzon we should be Zoiche B'mheru V'yomeinu, to drink the Kosh Shel Eliyahu and to partake of this Kosh at its fullest, when we will be Zoiche B'korov V'yomeinu. Hine Yonoichi Sholeach Lechem Es Eliyahu Anovi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem Agodol V'anoiro V'heishev Leivav Asel Bonim V'leiv Bonim Elavoisam. Bebias Moshiach Tzidkenu, Bemheiro, Viomenu, Amen.